Good evening, everyone. Well, time flies when you're, I guess, having fun. So, for those who've already forgotten, I'm Todd Watrous. We started the winter quarter class on December 14th, and this is the second time that I've been up here since then. We had Tyrone Powers substituting on the 28th. Tyrone's not here. I'm starting to feel this trend. He's only here when I'm not here. I don't know, but I do appreciate him stepping in for me. All right. So just a quick recap. Engaging like Christ. When I did the intro, I was talking about the thought behind this class is being able to reach out to people. It's about relating to people. Building relationships with people. And we know that it's possible because Christ Jesus engaged with people. He was constantly engaging people. And he's our Lord and our Savior. So I started thinking, once again, when I do these classes, I'm talking to myself a lot. So when I'm sitting down and I'm thinking through these classes, I'm talking to Todd Watrous. So it makes me a little vulnerable, you know, because I'm opening up a little bit of myself to all of you, and I'm sharing thoughts. And in some cases, I might share some feelings, because I'm not the greatest person at reaching out to people and sharing the gospel of Christ or being concerned just about their spiritual health. And sometimes I get so caught up in the speed of the day because I spend a lot of time at work, and I was just telling Elton and Gail Stubblefield this. excuse me, I have a little bit of a cough. I'm trying to get over it. But one of the challenges I have is at work on a Wednesday night, you know, I've been going, when I get to work, it's nonstop. It's emails, it's meetings. I know y'all can relate to this, but it's just one thing after another. I went in today, I accomplished about 10% of what I set out to do today. So, now I didn't sit around being lazy. It's just that I had a lot of people that felt like they must have thought I was lazy and I needed things to do. So I was very busy doing things that I had nothing I had planned today. So after running around 100 miles an hour, I get into this class and I'm like, okay, I got to get my mind. What was I thinking? So when I do these slides, I try to use a lot of visual. And maybe for you guys, that's good. For me, it helps me to trigger things in my head because my memory is about near useless. So let's get going here. Engaging like Christ. So here we are in lesson 3, a month later, finally getting along. Perfect like your Father. Now, this is our Heavenly Father. And by the way, there's a little class itinerary. There's a bunch of copies in the back. I noticed that for this class, I had a typo. It's amazing. No matter how many times you read something, I'm dyslexic or something. But perfect like your Father. It's Matthew 5:43-48, not 5:43-38. For those who want to read backwards. Anybody want to take a guess at what that is? What?
Cactus.
A cactus? Well, it might be a little, I guess you could look at that like that. That's not a bad one. All right, look, I looked at this picture for a few minutes until I finally read the caption. That is the Red Sea being parted. Who all guessed that? That's good. Y'all are so good. I thought it was a really cool, I said, now there's a good way to look at it, bird's eye view. So when I think of our Heavenly Father, and we're going to get to the scripture where it talks about being like our Father, what Jesus talks about, but I wanted to lead up to it. When I think of our Heavenly Father, I have to back up and I start reading the Old Testament, and I see things like this from Hosea. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the bells and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them." Y'all get a picture of a loving father there? I mean, this is the Lord speaking through the prophet Hosea. And how many times was he upset and disappointed with the Israelites? The Old Testament, is it not a roller coaster of up and down? And but he kept coming back and trying to get them back to him. Now, has anyone ever prayed for patience? My wife just said no, as she's shaking her head. Why do we laugh? Well, because when you pray for something, you're going to probably get it. And if it's patience, then you're going to get 3 children, like my wife and I. and the oldest probably being the most, the oddest thing is Joshua was probably our greatest challenge. And at age 14, we are now starting to see some fruition of patience and diligence and tough love. But I love the kid. But I'm really no different. When I think about my heavenly Father and the things that he has to put up with me, my forgetfulness, my casual prayers, almost treating it like trivia, a trivial thing. Coming to church and thinking, well, man, I really got some other things I need to do. I wish I didn't have to do this right now. When I'm thinking like this, when I think to myself, you know, I ought to go sit down and read the Bible. I got a little while. Why not go read the Bible? And then I don't. That has to be disappointing to my Heavenly Father. So, I think about the beauty of God and the power of His love. This is one from Isaiah 49:16. "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." I saw this picture and I went, I got to have the picture, whether or not the scripture's in there. I got to figure this out. But the scripture came with the picture. I just thought it was pretty cool. When you hold that child's hand, and I remember Nathan Ingram. Nathan, Nathan's back there. I remember Nathan talking about his children. He says, those children, they'll do things just blatantly will sin against me. But you know, when I go in and I see them sleeping at night, they're the most perfect and precious things they are. It is, it's truth. Even when your children get 14 years old and they're standing up taller than you and they ain't as pretty as they used to be, there's something about when they're sleeping and you stop and you just look at them and you go, this is my child? And it's just amazing. So our Heavenly Father, as we're about to hear Jesus say, is that Jesus, he makes the comment that God, he allows the rain and the sun to come upon 2 types of people. We're going to read about that. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Okay. I've read this a lot of times in my life. I haven't fully understood it. Today, I'm up here leading this class, I still don't fully understand it. So This is an education class. Y'all are welcome to speak up and teach as we go. But I'm going to share with you what I think we're sort of heading to with the perfect, like your Father, loving your enemies. I mean, have y'all practiced that? I mean, has anyone tried that really hard today? Was that the first thing you've woke up this morning? I mean, who really wakes up in the morning and goes, I am going to find my enemy and love them, whether they like it or not? Actually, I would probably be more along the lines to say, I will not look for my enemy because I will not like to love them. I don't want to deal with them. I don't have time for them. But God has time for them. Our Heavenly Father has time for them. And it's really down to the nitty-gritty of it all is that our Heavenly Father loves and has sacrificed His Son for us and our enemies. Now, there's something to think about. Well, you mean He loves Him too? Yes. Jesus, a few verses earlier, says, But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, the reason I threw this picture up here, this painting, is because that's Jesus, and he's being whipped. And being flogged has got to be a little next step up, I would say, from being slapped. Wouldn't you agree? And Jesus, what could have Jesus done? What kind of power was at Jesus? I mean, he could have stopped this right here. He could have turned the thongs on these things into spaghetti noodles. Right? He could have froze the two guys. He could have had, you know what, just for fun of it, just have an angel appear right here in the middle of all these guys. I bet you they'd stop. That might get their attention. We're going to talk a little later about Jesus had made a decision at this point in his life. He had accepted his Father's will. And that is another part, I believe, of how we are perfect like our Father, is that we accept our Heavenly Father's will. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we want to do it or not, I have to be Todd Watchers, once again, talking to myself. I have to be more trusting of my Father. I get fed up with my children sometimes when I say, I want you to go do something. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm your dad. Would you trust me? Daniel, our youngest son, he likes to climb up things. Ever since he was little, he's now 11, but ever since he was little, like 2, you could catch Daniel climbing something. The problem was sometimes getting down. You know, you get up high and all of a sudden you look down and all of a sudden you're like, never mind, I can't go back down. And I would say, would you just, he's like right there, jump, just, I'll catch you. No, he wouldn't do it. I am not climbing this tree. Would you jump out of this tree? I'm like, it hurt me, y'all. It hurt. There's a part of me that was hurt because my son would not trust me. He thought I was going to what? Step away and go, oops. I don't know what he was thinking. Or my dad isn't strong. Dude, I'm super dad. What are you talking about? When I'm wrestling with you, you don't ever worry. You always are always, oh, dad, you're too strong for me. But when I'm going to catch you from a tree, you can't jump. Anyway, so that used to hurt me a little bit when he wouldn't jump down and trust his dad. I believe that hurts our Heavenly Father too, when we don't trust Him. When His will is laid out before us, and He is trying to compel us to do something. And in this case, focusing on a something is engaging, like His Son Jesus, with people that we come into contact with. We have opportunities that are opened up to us. But are we looking for them, or do we see them and ignore them because I really don't want to do that? I'm guilty of it. So here we have Jesus. I think he's made this decision. He asked. ask, Father, if this cup can be what? He said, can you pass it? Can I just, do I not, do I, is there another way? And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. I included that last one in there because I think it's important to see that he said, but not my will, your will be done. And he's in agony, and he's in so much agony, you can, I know if I was sweating drops of blood, I'm thinking, okay, obviously, whatever is making me this nervous, it doesn't need to happen. It's time for me to leave. It's a good thing that I wasn't y'all's, you know, Messiah. So, but I'm just, Jesus is praying to God, and he's focusing on a key point. He's stressed out, he's sweating drops of blood, and he's saying, yet not my will, but yours. I don't know if I do that. I don't know if my faith has reached its potential. Now, there's a hope there. If my faith has not reached its potential, there's a hope that there is a greater potential for my faith to get to. And I truly believe I still have a long way to go in my faith. But I want to trust God. I want to be perfect like my Heavenly Father. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect. It means I'm going to aim high for it. I was reading a commentary from Burton Kaufman out of his Matthew, and he was talking about being perfect. He said, well, if it was a college, none of us would graduate. But he says what's awesome about it, what is awesome, what it is, it's a paradox is what he said. He said, because what it is that we strive to do our best to be perfect. That's the goal. You just aim high. To borrow from the Air Force, you just aim high. And when you fall, you get back up and you keep going. And you keep your focus on your Heavenly Father and you trust him. Because he is always near. The Lord is always near. So, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, when he's talking to us, he's talking to the church. He's talking to us. But what he's talking about is the people who are not yet of the church, of the Christian way also. And that is what we need to do is reach out. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. These are the kind of verses that I'm trying to ingrain this year. I'm trying to ingrain them into my memory better. Every year I try to come up with something so that I know I need to work a little better at it. And I find that I've been trying to work on trusting in the Lord. I think I'm on year 4 that I've really focused on this now. And I said, well, maybe this year I'll step it up just a little bit more. But it's focusing on his will. Focusing on his will and trusting him and understanding more about his will. So when I threw up this black and white up here, it's because our minds have been transformed in Christ. Our minds are transformed from the darkness of this world, from the darkness of sin, from the temptations that Satan is out there trying to ensnare us with, and we have been transformed into the light that is created by God, that is from God. And this is something to think about. And I'm once again talking to Todd Watchers. If that is so wonderful and great, trying to help others to transform their minds from the darkness into the light of God in Christ Jesus. Why don't I share more? Why don't I go into deeper discussions with people besides weather and sports and whatever else might be the trivial discussions? There's people that I've known for over a decade, and I really have never touched them or talked to them about their spiritual path, where they are at right now. And so I'm trying to get better about that this year. I'm going to try and do it one person at a time because this group thing is tough. So I'm going to do one person at a time. I'm trying to reach out to certain people that, and try not to be judgmental about it. I'm just trying to say, okay, this is a guy I've known for a while. I sort of know where he sits on some things. I'm going to work with him right now. And I'm going to try and do that. That's what Todd Watchers is trying to get to. All right. I know I'm doing a lot of talking. I'm not trying to do a lot of preaching. I'm just trying to get the concept out. So I'm hoping that something is working. The gears might be turning in your minds and your hearts. And you understand the direction that we're going here. Excuse me a second. Okay. I've got some questions coming up here in a moment. I wanted to use these two stories here. All right. The Good Samaritan. Now, in our culture, when you hear the term Samaritan, at least for me anyway, how many of you hear sort of a positive thing about that? I mean, when you hear Samaritan, you're thinking it's a positive thing. But you have to stop and think about the story that Jesus is telling. What he's saying is that there is a Samaritan, a dog of a human. That's basically what the way Jews looked at Samaritans. Samaritans were not looked at nicely. This is what's interesting. In this story, he says that a priest and a Levite came by the man who was laying on the side of the road, wounded and beaten. They passed by him. So if we have a priest and a Levi, would you say good chances are that those are Israelites, Israelite people, right? And he's telling this story to who? To Israelite people. And when he's done, the hero of the story is a Samaritan. And to them in that term, you literally should have just said dog. The good dog did better than all of you. When Jesus was telling this, he was making a point that had to touch some people really hard. Some people, let's just face it, they were like, whatever. There had to be some people, though, that were really thinking hard about this. Because if you truly look at the story, the question that is there is would you stop and help somebody that's on the side of the road? Would you be an Israelite, being an Israelite, would you stop and be like a Samaritan in this story who stopped and helped the man? Would you be like a Samaritan that was being good and showing compassion to a fellow man? Would you, an Israelite, be a Samaritan like this one in this story? That, when you read the Bible, we have to look at it and think in the time of the culture too, and this is very pertinent. When Jesus was saying this, people, I'm telling you, there had to be some major staring around looking at one another like, wow, he just told a story and he made us Israelites look like bad guys, and then he made the Samaritans look like a good guy in this story? Is he serious? So keep that in mind. In another one, you have the Pharisee and the publican, and there were two men that were gone into a temple to pray. Now, do we remember the difference between the two? I'll let y'all do some talking. I know I do a lot. But what was the difference between the two? How did the Pharisee go about praying?
Oh, thank you so much for so good. The publican, of course,
What'd you say?
He was very glad he wasn't born a woman.
Oh, really?
It's in the prayer.
Oh, it's in the prayer? All right. I haven't I guess read it deep into it, but I will say, going back to what you were saying, that publican is in the back. Do y'all remember how he was approaching? Do you remember how the publican was approaching in that story? What was he doing in the very back? He was beating his chest. He would not even look up to heaven. He was looking down. He was so ashamed of his sin. What was that, Elton? Yes. Thank you. In the story, it says he's in the back. I did this picture because I liked it because they were shooting sort of to him, to the other guy. But it is the publican. It's in the front of the picture. In the story, it says he stood back. He wouldn't go forward. The Pharisee was up there going on and on about himself. And he wasn't asking God, can you make me a better person? Lord, I'm sorry that I sinned. He didn't do that. He kept saying, I give a tenth of everything I earn. He goes, I'm a wonderful guy. I haven't told any lies in the last 2 minutes. But, and he's telling his things, and then he turns, and he literally says, and I'm thankful I'm not this, like this man. And Jesus asked the question at the end, which one went home more justified in the eyes of God? And the answer that they had to give was not the Pharisee. It was the other man who could not even look up to heaven because he was so ashamed of his sin. So the reason why I bring these two stories up is because in this world, us Christians are tagged like this. Whether it's true or not, we get tagged like this. We're a bunch of goody two-shoes. We always put ourselves on our own little pedestals. You know, that kind of a thing. I've had these conversations with people before, and I think I've been pretty good at trying to convince them otherwise, but they've had those experiences. The other day, Ken was talking about filters, and the good Lord knows, Ken, that Todd Watchers has a whole mess of filters, and sometimes they get several of them lined up in a row, and I get choked out. So anyway, but the filters are not all good. Going back to the will of God and our Father, I want us to think, are we stopping and thinking about the will of God? Are we studying His Word and praying to Him and then trying to reach out to people? Because that is the will of God, is for us to engage with people. Yes, it is the will of God. It is the plan of God that we engage with one another as a church family. We are here to encourage one another and build each other up in Christ. But then we go out into that world. We are to continue remaining in Christ, but we are to engage with that world out there. And I think we have to do it boldly and humbly. It's a double-edged sword. You got to be bold in Christ, but you got to be humble. And that is tough for me sometimes, because sometimes I can sound pretty opinionated, and then maybe my boldness all of a sudden doesn't work so well. But we have to start practicing. That's one of my key problems, is I don't practice enough. I don't get out there and engage, and so I've sort of disengaged from reaching out and talking to people about their spiritual deals. Yes, brother? All right, so he just said something there about his daughter. So he's saying that, look, us adults get at 100 miles an hour, and we do. I think we become calloused, and we become forgetful. And we have to stop and talk to the Lord, and we have to read his word and then remember from whom to whom we belong. And what he said about his daughter was is that the other day she was getting tearful, because she was worried that one of her friends isn't going to go to heaven based on a discussion, I would assume, that she's had with that friend. And he told his daughter, you keep that heart. Amen. What you got, John?
I don't know when you're going to get to this. Probably later.
I'll just jump, brother.
But a good salesman ought to get thrown out of the house at least two or three times a week.
A good salesman ought to get thrown out of the house two or three times a week. Okay.
It's probably true. But, you know, if you're that afraid of losing your image or having a failure, you're not going to do much. And believe it or not, I've witnessed the telephone. I mean, if you just got your eyes open, you're all over.
Yeah.
And I do a lot.
Okay.
And here I was kind of like the follower, the 1-2 punch. And I wasn't even, you know, but I have that happen all the time. If you just, I don't care. You can't embarrass me. And I don't care. And you know, if you do.
You can't embarrass John.
Yeah,
oh, okay, so anyway.
Yeah, I don't take that back. You could. But basically, if you're going around worried that your image is going to be affected.
Yeah.
People hurt my feelings.
I am. All right. So he actually has reached out to telemarketers before. That's good. I like that. Here we go. A couple questions. How do you choose who to share the gospel? I'm asking, this is, just think about it. When you're out there and you're looking, oh, what all of a sudden compels you to go, you know what, I think I'm going to just talk to this person. I'm going to ask them about their spiritual health. Does anyone care to share that one? How do you just choose a person and say, you know, I'm going to share the gospel with this person. For some reason, I'm compelled to do that. Have you ever been compelled to do that? So baby steps, build a relationship with a person. It's not necessarily come at them like this. It's baby steps. The harvest is definitely open. Hold on a second. Did I see someone's hand over here?
Yeah, I think that God has a lot to do with it. You know, you're sitting there thinking, when you're talking to somebody, he'll give you the words to say that person. You need to say something.
It's a man of faith right there. John already said, he says God has a lot to do with it. Get praying, huh? Hold on just a second. Was right here first.
I use Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch, as a great example. If you see somebody reading their Bible, you just sit down next to them and say, hey, what are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what you're reading? And sometimes they'll talk to you, and they'll try to explain the best they can. It may say,
got to get to it, Brother Hall. Well, now there's an interesting thought. If you're going through a hardship, that might be the Lord's way of reaching to somebody else. See, I need to develop my faith better, y'all, because, see, I don't think like that. I'm thinking, I'm going through a hardship. Leave me alone. So, anyway, Brother Sparks. Yeah, I I'm asking myself that big time. I'm sorry, there's another. Did you hear? I couldn't tell if you were saying something or not. Excuse me? Okay, yeah, I'm not asking really. It's more of just thinking, what do you do? Absolutely. You know, and sometimes it's not about. Yeah. Well, sometimes sometimes the prettiest, the most beautiful people aren't so pretty on the outside, but you end up finding out they are. Have you ever had an? We got to keep moving along here. We got 4 minutes here. Have you ever had an overwhelming compassion toward a stranger that you were compelled to reach out to them? You helped them with a physical need. This is going back to what you were saying. You simply listened to their troubles, or was an enemy. Have you ever reached out to an enemy? Have you ever said, I am compelled that this person whom I've been butting heads with about whatever it is, this person who every time I turn around seems like they're starting a rumor about me, you know what? I'm going to go. And I'm going to show compassion towards them, and I'm going to do my best to be patient and to go and bring sunshine and rain to this person's life, whether they want it or not. I'm going to try and be perfect like my Heavenly Father. Yes, Brother Hull, you're raising your hand back there. So you learned something about office politics that day, or office? You're jolly? Oh. All right. We got to remain calm. If the other person goes low, you know, for a low blow, what do? We going to hit back? You know what? No, we're not. We're going to calm down. We're going to be patient. Yes, we do. Let God handle it, but we have to know when to step up and do our part. Have you ever been the stranger who was shown compassion? Have you ever had somebody come to you and you were in a situation where you were about to lose it, and when you needed somebody who you didn't even know, they just came up to you and showed you some kind of compassion. How did that feel to you? Are you saying yes back there?
Thank you.
That says awesome stuff. But, and thank you for sharing it. The point of this question is so much, is just, if you remember those kind of times in your life, are you the person, do you take that and realize how good it felt? And then reach out and do the same for someone else. When that opportunity is open, reach out and show compassion towards somebody. Okay, there might be one sour lemon in the whole batch out there, but don't let them stop you from reaching out to the other 99 people that you could show compassion toward. Have you ever been the enemy who was shown compassion? Now, here I'm asking you to fess up. All right, just raise a hand, that's all. Have you ever been the enemy? You know, after you realize, you're like, okay, I've been a jerk. Okay, I was really not being nice. Okay, I just got the burning coals heaped upon my head. Have you ever been that person? Boy, that's embarrassing. But we have someone shaking their head. No, I'm joking. If I had a mic, I was going to hit the floor, but I'm not. This is something Nathan Ingram said a couple of years. Nathan, you remember saying this? Brother, you said it during a class, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm quoting you tonight. Y'all brothers in this class, y'all don't know, but I take notes. But this was about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago you were doing a class, and you were talking about people. And people out there who are lonely, there's people out there who are just overwhelmed, there's people out there, and they might not even realize it, but they need somebody to show them that you care. And they might have made the biggest mistake in their entire life. They might be sitting there in the middle of on a park bench, and they might just, their heart is just suffering because of some sin that they have done. And sometimes you just got to sit down with them and just sit there. You don't have to say anything. Sometimes you just need to sit there. And at the end of the day, all it tells them is, I know you're hurting. I'm just letting you know I'm on your side. I don't necessarily agree with what you did, but I'm letting you know that I care for you and I'm on your side.
I just wanted to finish with this one thing. I've been doing missionary work all my life.
Okay.
And I feel like every Christian's a missionary. And there's a mission field for everybody. And some of y'all are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done it all my life for the most part. There's a building downtown right now full of men, boys, that are going straight to hell. And it's not a big secret on how to do it. You just start doing it.
You just start doing it. And you know what? That's my whole point of this class, is that I feel like Todd Watchers has missed the main focus because I got too pulled in too many directions. So I'm focusing back. We got to wrap up this class, y'all. This is something that we talked about last time. Don't forget to whom we belong. And in Christ Jesus, look at these things that we are. And this is what we do with people. Let them become part of this holy nation in Christ Jesus. And we have received mercy, not justice. What would you rather have for yourself, justice or mercy? Next week, we'll be discussing this right here, like his teacher. It's on the schedule. You can read ahead. And I appreciate y'all's comments tonight. That's it. Thank you.